Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Yud Zayin. We begin on Tazayin Amud Beis at the two dots, which is around 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So this refers back to the Mishnah, where we had the following phrase: Hakol Sheichtin, Ula Oilam Sheichatin, and there's one more, which is Ubakol Sheichtin. The Gemara will analyze what exactly is this referring to. It's a very inclusive statement. Hakol, all are Sheichtin, Ula Oilam, anywhere, all the time. And the third one, which will be Bakol. So, what's it referring to? Explains the Gemara. Hakol Sheichtin means that we're meant to know that not only do animals, behemoth and chayos, require shechita to be permissible, even birds, fowl, which aren't really articulated in the pasuk, which speaks about shechita. Rashi says, "Afagav deloy ksiv be shechita behedi." We don't have a clear pasuk for the shechita of birds, but it's halacha that we know. Some say halacha l'meishim b'Sinai. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah is covering. Even birds require shechita. Hakol sheichatin, hakol b'shechita. All require shechita. V'afilu oiv, even fowl. L'oilom sheichatin, what's that covering? Mantana. So whose opinion? Whose shechita? What are we articulating in this part of the phrase? L'oilom. Shechita applies all the time. What does that mean? Mantan. I'm a rabbi. Oh, Rabbi Shmuel. It's Rabbi Shmuel speaking. Sanya. Ki yarcha Hashem elkecha zgvulcha. So this pasuk is in anticipation of entering Eretz Yisrael, when Hashem will expand your territory. Kasher dibur lecha, as He promised to you. V'amarta, you'll start contemplating. Oichla basar, perhaps I can have some meat. And the pasuk says, sure, go ahead, but do shechita before you eat. So according to Rishmael, the pasuk now is permitting something which was not permitted up until that point. Up until that point, meaning in the Midbar, in the desert, when they were camping in close proximity to the Mishkan, you could only have meat as part of a korban offering. You choose to bring a shlamim, sure. But the blood and the fat and the mizbech and the basar you can eat, but you can't just arbitrarily decide to take an animal, do shechita and eat it. It's called basar tava, just by way of desire, by way of a whim. You can't do that. And that changed once we enter Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the pasuk here is allowing. Rishmol emir loy ba'akosav. The whole point of the pasuk is to allow, lahater lohem basar tava, to allow consumption of meat just for the sake of consumption, not in a, you know, as part of a korban arrangement. Because up until that point, that was it. It's either korban or nothing. Shabbat chila, because initially in Israel, you could not have just meat per se, only as part of a korban arrangement. And that changed when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Mishenichnas la'aretz, once our nation entered the land, hutulam basar tava, you can have meat, just, you know, regular. So this is the pasuk. Comes our Mishnah and adds to that. What happens after we went into exile? We left Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps you think, V'achshav shegolu, now that we, Klal Yisrael, went into exile, Yochel, perhaps you can suggest, you can have a notion that it reverts back to its former status. You can't have meat just so. Yachal Yachzru, Lisur and Rishon, perhaps they revert back to the original prohibition. Comes the Mishnah and clarifies that for us. L'kach Sheninu, that's what we learn in the Mishnah. La'olam. Sheichat and Shechit is permissible all the time. So even now, you can Shecht and eat. Maskev L'Rav Yosef. I have a question, says Rav Yosef, on this explanation in our Mishnah. Hai lo'ilam shechatin. You know, why does the Mishnah put the stress on the shechita? You can always do shechita. I mean, it's seemingly missing the point. The point is to allow shechita for personal consumption, right? Lo'olam shechden v'oichem ibayle. It should have said you can shech to eat. I mean, that's the main point. That's the main message. Don't worry, eat it. Why does Mishnah focus on the act of shechita? V'oid, furthermore, why would you even think that it's usher nowadays? Meikar my time itzar. Why was it usher in the midbar initially? Mishum dahava mekarva the mishkan, because they were next to the mishkan, so it was easy to bring a carbon and eat it in that manner. Ulu basayif my time ishtiru. Going forward, why did that change when they enter Eretz Yisrael? Dahava merachkim a mishkan. Right, as the pasuk says, look, you have an expanded territory, you're living far away, so they were far away from the mishkan, from the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't practical to require everybody to bring karbanos all the time and only eat, you know, meat in that manner. Return to Zion. Okay, so then that would apply today too. If we're in Golos, Ukoshkin, for sure. If anything, all the more. Hashtag now that Chikulu Tvei, that Klal Yisrael had even arrived at a greater distances, further away from the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, there isn't even a Beis HaMikdash. Of course, the Shita here, Agirsa, the Lysi cloud, there is no way. Of course, Lishri, it should be Mutter. So why even talk about it? So it's plain and simple, obvious. Ella, rather, Amar of Yosef, I'll give you a different pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kivi, it's following the Shita of Rabbi Kiva, who says, look, you need to do shechita. Don't think you can just, you know, rip open the neck and the sanya. We have a brisa ki yichak mchamokim ashiv chasham lekech osam shmei sham. So you'll be living in Eretz Yisrael, right? And you'll be now further away from the mikdash, from the mishkan. V'zavachta mibkarcha mitzaincha. Go ahead. You can shecht your animals. And it's the next pasuk of the previous pasuk of Kiyarach Vashem Esgulcha, right? When you enter Israel, you're living all over the place. Do shechita and eat. What's the message? What's the point of the pasuk? Obviously, to eat, you have to do shechita. No, not so simple. Rukiva Aymer, guess what? Le'ba'akas ve'lo le'esu lehem basa nechira. The terms have now changed. The Torah now has to prohibit basa or meat of nechira, of just a torn open animal that did not undergo the shechita experience. Because initially, shebatchila, because back in the midbar, hotel lahem basa nechira. They didn't have to do shechita. They could just eat meat as is. Mishenichnasu la'aretz, nesu lahem basa nechira. The pasuk here is instructing them that upon entry, Eretz Yisrael, the rules have changed. Basa nechira, just ripping open the neck and killing the animal that way, that doesn't work anymore. Shechita is required. So go to Rabbi Kiva, astonishingly, right? In the Midbar, they don't need Shechita. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so what happens now after Golos occurs? V'ashta Shegol, now that they went into exile, perhaps it just goes back to the former system of Nechira. Yochol, Yachzru, Leter, Nerushim, perhaps they go back to the original Heter, where shechita is not a requirement. And comes the mission and says, no, lo'ilam. Once the shechita process, the shechita requirement has been applied, lo'ilam shechten, it stays on for all time. It doesn't get suspended anymore. Okay, so bottom line is, we have a Mishnah, bakol shechten, two ways to explain. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you would think that since in the Midbar you couldn't have basar tava, meaning meat consumption out of a carbon arrangement, so although in Eretz Yisrael it became mutter, but what happens today when we're out of Eretz Yisrael, perhaps you go back lo'ilam shecht, and even today you could shecht and eat. Kudar Bekiva, in the Midbar they did not need to do shechita, nechira was enough. It was only required once they enter Eretz Yisrael. And the mission is telling us, look, it applies today too. Michael Mifflin, what's the machlekes about? between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva savar basar tavlo itzer klal. Rabbi Kiva says, since when can't you just have meat for personal consumption without a carbon, you know, alibi, so to speak? According to him, there was no issur to eat basar tav in the midbar, so this whole, Rabbi Shmuel's whole approach doesn't really appeal to him. Rabbi Shmuel savar basar nechira ishtari klal. Rabbi Shmuel says, look, on the other hand, I disagree with your concept that you could just have basar nechira in the midbar. No, never. Hence, there are two divergent approaches to the historical sequence of events. Okay, now, Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel. So certainly according to Rabbi Shmuel, who maintains that shechita was always a requirement. That explains the pasuk in Vayikra, which is in the midbar, by the carbon that you have to do shechita because it's the only way. Hell, Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, who says nechira in the midbar was acceptable. My v'shachat. So why does the pasuk mention v'shachat? Kachim shani. That's a carbon. That's certainly a required procedure for a carbon. We're talking about non-carbon consumption. Okay. Next, bishloim Rabbi Shmuel. So certainly according to him, hayna dachsev hatzoyin abaki shachat lahem. So again, this is a pasuk in the midbar where Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, look, how can I shecht so many animals to feed them? Oh, but he's referring to shechita. Apparently, shechita was a requirement all along. El Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, who says it wasn't, Maya Tzoyne Baki Yishachet Lahem, why is he referring to Shechita? Yinacher Lami Boile, he should have said Yinacher. Nechir is enough. Nechir is Shlan Zui Shechitas, and you're right. Just a mode of expression. Nechir would do the same, have the same effect. In the Midbar, Nechir is like a Shechita. That's a way to terminate the life of the behemoth and to permit it for consumption. Okay, so again, according to him, that explains, since he says that really Nechiro was never an accepted form of processing the animal, that would explain the Mishnah, which is actually now Masechta later on, regarding Kisui Hadam, right? There's a requirement to cover the blood of a Chaya after Shechita, right? Hainudasnan HaShechet, Binesnabla B'yadai, Vanoicher. Let's say a person does an unsuccessful shechita, the animal dies. Or he does nechira. Bama'akari yanks out the simana. Patam lechases. That's not a proper, permissible, type of shechita, and there's no kisui hadam on that. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we understand. They don't qualify as shechita. Nechira as well, right? El Rabbi Kiva, but according to Rabbi Kiva, who says nechira, at least back in the midbar, was a form of life termination, which was tantamount to an act of shechita. So even nowadays, that it's been sort of taken off the table, but it should still, you would think it still maintains some status. It's still considered a formal, format of terminating the animal's life, and it should require kisui adam. Elu Rabbi Kiva, my patam lechases. The answer is, well, things have changed. Now it's no longer considered as such, hoyel ve'itzer, once nechira became asur, off the table, itzer, so now it's disregarded. It's not an act of, it's not considered like an act of shechit. Okay, now we'll go the other way. Bishleima, Rabbi Akiva, so certainly according to Rabbi Akiva, the Amor tells us, basar taivu itzer klal. There's never any restriction against just eating meat for personal, having meat for personal consumption. Even in the midbar, that explains the pasuk, which says, "Well, now you're in, you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you can have your sheep, you can shecht, right? Just like you have a tzviva ayil, those." Deer or whatever, right? They used to have until now. Which indicates that the Tzviva Ayil were perfectly permissible up until this point, even in the midbar. And of course, we know Tzviva Ayil are not karbanos. You can't bring a carbon from Tzviva Ayil. They're classified as chaya. So the pasuk seems to be alluding to the fact that they would have just plain meat to eat, even in the midbar. But according to him, you couldn't just eat plain meat. So the Tzvi Ayil itself, how would you even know that it was permissible? Miyavi, Shari, why would it be mutter? You're using that as a sort of a point of reference. Just like you ate those, you'll eat, you know, the sheep now going forward. Implying that a Tzvi Ayil were permissible in the midbar. Why? The answer is, yeah, because it was not able to be used as a carbon. The point's like this. A sheep, a goat, which can be served as a carbon, you must do that if you want to consume it. So you limit it. You can't eat it any other way. But something which is not a carbon candidate, like a chay, like a tzviva ayil, so it's never really covered under this system. And you could shecht it and have it. That's the Gemara's teretz. Ki asur achmana behema. The Torah only restricted regarding a behema, the chazila krava, which is suitable to be brought as a carbon candidate. So if it's a carbon, you can eat it, otherwise not. But a chaya, like a tzviva ayah, the loy chazila krava, which is not suitable for a krava in any case, loy asar achmar, the Torah never forbade that. Even in the midrash. Okay, so according to Rabbi Kiva, you can do nechira on the midbar and eat, but not in Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, I have a question, he says. What if you have a carryover? You did nechira on the midbar, now you have some meat, and now you're in Eretz Yisrael. That's, you imported in Eretz Yisrael. Can you still eat it? Because after all, the act of nechira already happened in the midbar, it became mutter. Why would it be usher now? On the other hand, you can say, the heter of Nechira was only applicable in the midbar, but now you're in a different environment. So that very same piece of meat becomes asr. Interesting question. Evare, the limbs, the parts of an animal, basar, of Nechira, so Yisrael imayin la'aretz, which Yisrael brought with them into Eretz, imported there to Yisrael. Ma, what's their status? Ask the Gemara, hold it. Amos, at what point in history are we talking about? We know that initially, right, the first 7 years were called Sheva Shekavshu, the 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and then it was followed by 7 years of allotment, of distribution, Sheva Shechilku. Amos, Ilema B'Sheva Shekavshu, we're talking about the first 7 years. There's no issue with this meat. Hashta Dover Tomei, even non-kosher meat that they found locally in Eretz Yisrael, Yishterilu were permitted to them, to serve as the Pasek. Refers to them, Batim Lehm Kaltuv, you find homes filled with all goodies, all kinds of loot, even non-kosher meat. Amar Yirmi Ba'aba, Amar Rav Kadli, Kasli, the Chaziri, dried Chazir meat, was permissible, they could eat it. So of course, Basar Nechira, why are you even asking about Basar Nechira, their own meat that they were Neicher, they can eat anything? Elalachi Mekan was speaking after the first 7 years. So our question still stands, but just later. Somehow they preserved it. Past 7 years, then it's right here. What's, you know, another answer would be Lo'ilam b'sheva shekavshu. Certainly, it's the first 7 years that we're talking. As per your question, no, a big difference. They could eat the local material that they find, but they can't eat their own non-kosher material. It's a whole different story. Ki ishri lehu, the only thing that was permitted for them, despite its non-kosher status, shalal, the loot, shal oydik echam, that they found locally by the goyim. The Dula Ishtari, but not material that the Yidden actually own, which are deemed non kosher. That there's no heter for during the 7 years. So the question now is does the original heter status stick or not? Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Now, this whole thing was triggered by the phrase in the Mishnah Hakol Shoichten, Ula Oilom Shoichten, Amar Rabba. Okay, Shon is Hakol Shoichten. You've resolved the first part, hakoil means, which material requires shechita, what is subject to shechita, fowl as well. Next, ulo'ilam sheichetin. So, that's also referring to the subject material, right? That nowadays, even during galus, you can shecht and eat, you have to shecht, right? Either, whichever way we like, right? What about the third part of the phrase? Bakoil shoychtim. What's that referring to? My mishanesli, how'd you explain that? Perhaps that's referring to the act of shechita, not the subject matter, just the way you do shechita, what type of, you know, utensil do you use for shechita? So perhaps bakoil means you can use anything, any sharp instrument. Perhaps you'll say bein betzur means you can use a sharp stone. Bein beschuch is glass, bein krum shulkana, sharp piece of a bamboo. So it turns out that the phrase sort of splits. Hakoil el olam relates to the subject matter experiencing the shechita, the fowl, the meat nowadays, whereas bakoil is a halacha referring to the shechet, how he does, how he executes, what type of, you know, instrument that he uses. Which is unlikely that one phrase would have sort of two connotations. Hadumi dahanach katani, we assume at the third part of the phrase matches, corresponds to the first two. Iyanach b'sheichten, hainam b'sheichten. If the first two speak about the sheichet, the halachas of doing the shechita, then we assume the third one as well. Iyanach b'nishchaten, hainam b'nishchaten. The first two are talking about the subject matter that are going through the shechita. Let's assume the third is also referring to that. Let's keep it consistent. Therefore, says Rabbi, let's shy away from this whole track. We have a different way to explain the Mishnah, a more simple way. Elam Arava. It's all referring to the act of shechita. Halacha is relating to the person doing the shechita, how he does it, not regarding the subject matter being shechted. Elam Arava. Hakol shechten chada lasui kuti chadosi Yisrael mumar. We have a kol shechten over here in the Mishnah. We have it back in the face. One is to allow a kuti. One is even a renegade Jew. Lo elam shechten means do it whenever you want, wherever you want. By day, at night, with a floodlight, on the roof, on the boat. Because shechten, you can use anything for shechita, any sharp instrument. Okay, Mishnah continues. Make sure it's nice and smooth, you know, the knife, without ridges, without bumps and nicks. Because, you know, when there's a bump deep enough, it's going to rip the neck, it's going to make it a trip, it's going to injure it. And that disqualifies the shechita. Chutz v'magal kotzer v'amegira. Can use a, you know, a sickle or a saw. Havod Shmuel, so Shmuel's father, Pogam, he took a knife and he nicked it. V'shadar, Pogam v'shadar, and he sent it to the Chachma Eretz Yisrael. Pogam v'shadar, did another one and sent it, so he sent many samples to clarify with them what exactly is considered a disqualifying nick. How deep does it have to be to disqualify the knife? Shochle, they responded, Kim Megero Shaninu. Look at the Mishnah, Megero. That's the, you know, descriptive standard. Megero. A deep nick. Rashi explains, and Megero has 2 points. Right? So if this is the blade, right, go straight, and then you have a deep nick, like a V, and comes back up. So you have 1 point on the left, 1 point on the right. And the Gemara later calls it Aigeres. It gathers, you know, the skin gets stuck inside and it rips it. So that disqualifies the knife. But if it doesn't have that double edge, that double corner, let's say it just sort of gradually slopes down and then comes up abruptly, so it only has one corner, one tip, one sharp edge, we'll see in a minute, that doesn't necessarily disqualify the knife if you're careful in how you use it. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a price regarding knives used for shechita. We turn to Amidbeis. Sakan sheish bepekima is harbi. So first of all, we have a knife full of nicks, full of bumps. Well, you can't use that. Tidon ki megera is treated like a saw. Totally disqualified. There's no way to use it. However, v'sheim b'el bepekima achas. But suppose it's only one nick. Could you still use the knife? Sometimes. Depends on the shape of the bump. A geras, as we explained before, it's like a V. So again, the knife is like a straight, blade is like a straight knife, a straight line. It comes down like a V, back up, right? So then you have a point here and a point here. And a geras, it gathers. It traps the skin. Rashi brings a pasuk. Mishli, agra b'katzer machala, like the, you know, the ant gathers and gathers and stores its food. very diligently, right? So if the knife has that capacity to sort of gather and trap the skin, that's terrible. That's going to rip psula. However, let's say it's not so sharp. The hole, the nick isn't so drastic. It's mesuchseches, which we'll see in a minute exactly what this is. Basically, it's you have the straight line of the blade, then it circles down, so you don't have that first tip coming down. There's no sharpness there, and then it gradually, and then it abruptly makes its way back up, and has a sharp tip there. So it's really only one danger point. Mesuchseches, Rashi brings is like jumping. The knife sort of jumps over the skin. It's not gonna rip it. It's not really gonna get caught in there. It's like a dip, right? There's only one sharp edge, not two. Then technically you can somehow get around there and use it. Ksher. Hechidamya igeres. What defines igeres? Hechidamya misuchseches. What defines misuchseches? As we explained, or lezer igeres means mishtei ruchos. That it has the sharpness on both sides, like a V. Misuchseches only ruchaches. Only has a sharp point on one side. Now what's the difference? Maishna mishtei ruchos. Why is it that let's call it the V and the dipper, okay? The V one, destructive. Puzzle. Why? Let's think for a second. The shechita has to make its way through a lot of layers. The outer skin, right? Some flesh. Then it gets down to the siman. So what's the issue? So why would you understand better in the case where it has two points that in fact it can harm and damage and rip the animal? The marsha kama, because the first corner, first tip, machlish, it thins, it sort of bores into the skin before it gets to the simanim. Umarsha basra baza, and once you get to the second point, that punctures the simanim. That's a 1-2 punch, and it makes it a treif. Well, the same issue applies in the mesuchseches. So even though it's just one sharp corner, but until you get to that corner, you're cutting through, you're using the blade of the knife, the kosher part of the blade, the smooth part, to bore through, to cut through, and then by the time you get to the simanim, you're at the point and it's going to rip the simanim. Even if it's just one tip on one side, churva the sagina machlish, churva the sharpness of the blade will thin out, will give access into the neck, mur shabaz on the sharp corner will rip, will puncture. So why is that any better? Oh, the kaim, this circular nick is situated where? Areisha de sakina. In front. At the front. So it's not a 1-2 punch. Because it's right there. You haven't yet really cut anything. To give the sharp tip access to the simon, it won't reach the simon. Well, one second. Aren't you going back and forth? So if sefer ultimately ki azla machlasha. So when you're going forward, you're going to thin out, meaning you're going to cut through the first layers. Ki asabaza, when you do the return trip, you're going to now hit the sharp edge on this simanim and puncture it. Ki going to shalach lehevi. We're speaking only he only went one way, not back. He only went forth and not back. So as we're going to see in a minute, it's not really advisable because typically you go back and forth and you might mistakenly do that, but technically if he did it this way, he was careful. So we have three conditions to allow even a knife with a nick. It's sharp only on one side as opposed to a full V. It's like a dipper, right? It's situated at the front of the knife and he only went forward without going back. Amar Rav Gimel Midas B'Sakin. So, in fact, we have three levels, three categories regarding knives. Oy geras, that's the worst, like a real deep cut, like a V, with two tips, two sharp points. Lo yishchayt v'mshachat shechitos epsul. Don't use it. If you use it, it's possible because the two tips execute that 1-2 punch. One gives access, the other one cuts through simon. The mid layer is the mid. Middle case is the misuchseches. It's not preferred because you might mistakenly take it two ways. But if otherwise you did it, here comes a third type. Suppose it's not really a nick, it's not really a blemish Elul B'yored means it goes up and down. It's like a semicircle. It's a circular knife. So the blade sort of maybe due to excessive sharpening, right? But it's smooth. It's super sharp. It's just a bit circular. That's okay. As long as we don't have like a drastic drop, like a bump, with any, you know, sharpness or anything like that. Sheikh bin Khathila, it's A1, it's perfect. Okay. Amalei Rav Huna Breder Nechemil Rav Ashi. So he turned to Rav Ashi. Amar Shlom Shmeid Rava. You have told us the name of Rava. Misuch Sechas Pesula. You can't use a Misuch Sechas. It's even possible. V'ha Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa that it works. Misuch Sechas is Kshera. The answer is, was it one way or two ways? Like Asher, Kan Shalach V'Hevi. If you did it two ways, then it's possible. Kan Shalach V'Hevi. If you only did it one way, that's okay. Amalei Rav Ach Ved Rav Ari L'Rashi. Dami L'Sasamai. Sasa is like the crown around the stalks, like the wheat, right? It has like these pointy, like these fibers. So you touch it, it's like a little bit bumpy, a bit, you know, ridged. It's not really a nick. It's not really a, right? It's not sharp. It's just a little bit unsmooth. What if the knife feels like that? My. Amalei says, it's fine. That's not going to puncture anything. That's not going to rip anything. And he expressed himself with such confidence. Amalei, man, yoyev lo mi bisrei. I wish somebody would serve me some of that meat. V'achlin, I'll eat it. Meat of an animal shechta with this type of knife. That's how he was, you know, how certain he was that it's okay. Amar of Chista, menayin lebedika sakan min haTorah. What do we find in the Torah? A source. That one is required to closely examine. We'll see soon how it's done. Examine the knife of Shechita prior to the act of Shechita. Shnem, we have a pasuk by Shaul HaMelech who told him, look, we're ready to make a feast. U'shechatetem bozeh, use this knife, it's been checked. Lachaltem, and you'll eat. Shechita says the Gemara, why a source? I mean, plain logic, plain common sense. Kiven the chinuk of treifa. Look, if the knife has a hole, it is blemished, and it punctures the simonim, the animal's a treifa, and of course you should check it. I mean, boya b'dika, of course. L'chacham kamrinan. We're looking to find a source, that one has to bring the knife to the chacham, to the elder, the town rav. Of course you have to check it, but the rav has to check it. And that we see from Shaul HaMelech. He checked it. Asked the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Yechanan, but he told us, "Le'amru laharis sakan lechacham elo mekvayda shel chacham." No point of showing the sakan to the chacham was a practice established by the chacham to uphold his honor, his stature. And he was saying it's a pasuk in the Torah. But the Rabbanon, you're right; it's only a takana the Rabbanon. But Kura, the pasuk that we learned it from Asmach, the Baal was just a support. It's a sort of a hint to this concept. Okay, so we learned that a knife has to be unblemished, has to be examined. How do we examine it? So there were different methods of examination. Marava, Eretz Yisrael, Batkele B'Shimsha, they would check it opposite the sun and see if there's any, you know, imperfections. But Narda, Batkele B'Maya, in Narda they used water. One pshat in Rashi is that they ran a drip from top to bottom. See if it runs over the blade smoothly or it gets stuck. Rav Sheshes Badakla Buresh Lishne. Rav Sheshes, listen, he would use the tip of his tongue, run it over the blade carefully to see if it has any pagima. Rav Achvar Yaakov Badakla Badakla Sarah. He would run a hair over it. Besura Amri, in the Surah they held that you have to use flesh, like a tongue or something like that, because the whole point of the knife is to cut through flesh to see. You're trying to test to see if it's going to get stuck, right, on flesh. The flesh is going to get sort of caught into it. So you have to likewise use similar material. Otherwise, if you use material which is dissimilar to flesh, how's that a proper test? Imagine if it's rougher material, it might just jump over the begima. If it's too mushy, it's just going to get stuck even in a very small begima. So you have to specifically use something which is similar to the material that's going to be operated on. Bisura Amri, in Surah they maintain, Bisra Achla, the knife is meant to consume Basar, Bisra Livdaka. You have to use Basar to check it. Only that is considered a fair test. You have to use basar. So he would use a finger. Vatufan, also on the nail. So you have to check the knife running it across the skin of the finger and also across the nail. Taisa says, why a double test? Because you're shechting two things. The flesh is a test regarding the shechita on the veshet, on the food pipe, which is soft flesh, and the nail, fingernail is required for the kana, which is more of a cartilage material, like a bone material. Vatufer, right, over the fingernail as well. Vatregi sane, and also on both sides of the knife. So the tip, the blade, and also the sides, the wall, because if there's any blemish there, it's going to rip the sides of the simanim. Amali Ravino Ravashi. Amrulon Rav Sama, Breder Misharshi, he told us Mishmach in your name. The Amrus lay that you told him Mishmach in the name of Rava. Shrikha Bidika Bisratu Farat Asruchasa. You have to check by running it over the skin, the nail, and all three sides of the knife. Amrulay, he says, no. Abisratu Farat Amri. Yeah, I spoke about the skin and the nail, but not about the three sides. But Lasa Ruchasa Le Amri. I didn't speak about all three sides. Some say he responded, yeah, I spoke about the skin, the nail, and the three sides, but the source here is incorrect. I wasn't quoting Rava. Rabbeinu Rav Ach the Rava, they were sitting, Aisu, Sakon Kamei, the Rav Ashi, Livdaga. So Sheikh had brought a knife to Rav Ashi to check it. So Rav Ashi turned to the Rav Ach the Rava, Vidka, please check it for me. But got to from Abisra, so he checked it over the fingernail, over his skin. Atlas Ruchasa on the three sides. Amrulay. So Rav Ashi gave him a Yashar Koyach, Yishar. Chazak Vamat, right? Yashar Koyach. V'chein Rav Kana. Rav Kana also required such an extensive examination. Rav Yemer Amar, however, he disagrees. Atufro of Abisra Tzricha. Yeah, I agree. It's got to go over the skin, over the fingernail. But on the side, the walls of the knife, that's not required. That's not needed. Why? Why, yeah, it's not going to come into contact with the simanim. Because, look, the knife is super sharp. So the blade is going to cut the simanim, which will now widen to the point that the walls of the knife, by the time the walls get there, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be touching anything. So since there's no contact, it's not important to check it. And he compares it to halacha we had the other day. Miloy Amar Abzera Mashmol Libein Sakan. Didn't we learn that Shmuel tells us if one heats up a knife red hot and does shechita with that knife, a sharp knife, red hot, did it burn or did it cut? Right? It's okay. Why? Shechiduda. Because the sharpness of the blade, the cutting effect, precedes the burning effect, which takes more time to transfer. Kaidin Libuna. So we know it cut rather than burnt. Yeah, but that's good regarding the tip of the blade. But what about the walls, which are now embedded in the siman and coming down? They're going to burn it up sideways. The question we had on that was, oh, you could start, what about the sides of the knife? But I mean, the answer was, no concern. There's no contact. Based on shechita, the place of the shechita, mirvach ravach, expands and widens. Hachanami, here as well, regarding the blemished knife on the walls, who cares? Based on shechita, mirvach ravach. Amar avunar Rav Katina, we're speaking about blemishes. In Shechita knives, and actually in many other places in the Torah, we have disqualifying blemishes, like by a karban, which makes it into a mum. What's the shear? What amount? How deep is the nick to be considered? So as we learned, if it's significant enough that the person's fingernail gets caught on it, that's a problem. The same exact shear, that same exact standard applies to all these other places as well. If it's that deep, it's disqualifying. There are three instances that a pegima, that a nick, is a disqualifying phenomenon. And they will relate to this shiur as well. Pegima is a pesach. We know we're not allowed to break a bone on the carbon Pesach, while consuming it, right? And even a nick. Pigimas oizim a bechor, firstborn kosher animal bechor, which is Kaddish, like a carbon, right? it is a carbon, right? And if it has a mom, a blemish, even a nicked bone, a nicked ear, pekimas mom bekalchim, same thing regarding a regular carbon, right? If it has a mom, you can't bring it as a carbon. So even a small, even a small blemish, a small nick of this size disqualifies it. Likewise, the knife of Shechita. Now the first Shechita, why did he not put Shechita on the list? He wasn't speaking about Chulin, he was speaking about carbon related, you know, nicks. So in all these places, Pigimasan, what's the sheer? How significant is the Pigima? Kadei Pigima Samizbech. The same as the Pigima which qualifies the Mizbech and the Mesamidash, which is meant to be Sholem, full and complete and whole without any blemishes. Any nick disqualifies it. Oh, and how much is that? We move on to the next daf. Vikama Pigima Mizbech. Oh, finally, the Shatach about Tzipurin. Even if it's just deep enough for the tzipur and one's fingernail to get caught on it, is considered pasul. Maisvei becomes a kasha. That minute, really? Kama begimah sa mizbeach. What is the begimah of a mizbeach? Reb Shimon nechayo im a tefach. It's be a tefach in size. Pretty significant breakage. Reb Lezer Yaakov im a kazayas. Not a tefach, but a kazayas. And it would say just a small nick, like kasha. Answers like this. Depends on what part of the mizbeach. Haba sida haba avna. They were talking about the sid, the plaster portion of the mizbeach. So as long as the mizbeach still looks complete, that's enough. Haba avna. We're talking about the stones. Rashi brings the pasuk avanim shleimos. Stones have to be complete, unblemished, and even a small nick disqualifies it. Okay, let's review today's daf. We began with the phrase in the Mishnah, Hakol Shechten. Bakol Shechten, Lo'ilam Shechten. Initially, we related it to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, regarding nowadays. You could have Shechita and eat it even without bringing it as a carbon. You need Shechita, you can't do Nechira like they did in the Midbar. So that revolved around that Machlekes. But what happened in the Midbar? According to Rabbi Shmuel, they couldn't eat Basar Tava. According to Rabbi Kiva, they could. Just the opposite. They don't even eat Shechita, even Nechira is enough. But certainly all that changed when they came to Eretz Yisrael, and the point of the mission is to say, well, whatever status happened there, Eretz Yisrael continues on for all time. We had a shaila about the Basar or Nechir that came to Eretz Yisrael. Does it maintain its heter or not? Rabbi took a different approach to the mission. He said it's all going on the act of Shechita, the person doing the Shechita, who could do it, when, how. And that took us into the next discussion regarding the knife that's meant to be preferably nice and smooth and sharp, unblemished. But if there are any blemishes, we have three different levels. A serious blemish, which has two sharp edges, disqualifies. It's just one sharp edge. If it's done carefully, just, you know, one direction, you know, all that, it works. And regarding just a circular knife, Oyla B'yared would be L'chatchila. Saka needs B'dika, of course, and it's meant to be done by the Chacham, Ekvedi Shel Chacham. How does one check a knife? According to Surah, it has to be done with Basar, and that seems to be, have been the accepted system here. They use their finger, their finger, their skin, and the nail as well to cover the Kana and the Veshet, you know, aspects of the Shechita. And Machlekes is where they have to check the walls and, you know, make sure they're perfect as well. And concluded with the Aloha Pekimas of Tzipiren, which applies to us, applies to Mizbeach, applies to the stolen part of Mizbeach, to Karbonos, and to the eating of the Karban Pesach. Okay, all the best to you, and much Hatzlacha.